Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Romans 14, go there. We're talking about the joy of our salvation. The joy of salvation. How, you know, when I got saved, and I said this Sunday morning, but I'm going to say it again, one of the first things that showed up in my life was joy. And it's never left. Hallelujah. Now, I've been through some testing and some trials, and, you know, and some of it, like, really heavy, major, knock you out, you know, stuff that, but I've kept my joy. Hallelujah. And I still got the joy of my salvation. Hallelujah. I'm still glad I'm saved. How many ever heard me say that before? I'm glad I'm saved. Well, I still am. I'm still full of joy over being born again. And if you know, if you've never been born again, you don't know this, but if you've been born again, you should have got something called joy. You did, whether you yield to it or not, I don't know. But you got it because the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit's love, joy, peace, and so forth. And so those were three things that showed up immediately in my life when I got born again, was love, and then joy, and then peace. Joy hit me right away, and peace hit me right away. And then, you know, you notice you're walking in more love than you used to. You know, all these things are things that when we get born again, they come be, they're part of our life. Yeah. But we have to yield to them. Amen. Amen. You can either yield to depression or you can yield to sadness. You can yield to joy. It's just really your choice. You know what I'm saying? Well, it's circumstances. Well, listen, if circumstances control your life, the devil can control your life because he can create circumstances. Or life controls your life. We're supposed to be controlled by the Holy Ghost. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Say amen, somebody. We're not supposed to be controlled by those exterior things. Now, I understand we may not be in situations where we're just thrilled to pieces to be there. I get that. But yet, deep down inside of us, there's residing something called joy, a force where I can let out a shout anytime. Hallelujah. And I can come to church instead of my lip dragging the carpet, I'm praising the Lord. Hallelujah. Have you ever had to pray for me and put me up in 25, 26 years, whatever, however long you've been coming to this church? You know, my wife's been coming here since it started. She left once to find another church, but couldn't find a good one, came back. That's a joke. You understand, see, you think that I've ever had trials? Well, certainly, absolutely, amen. But yet, I'm not letting that steal my joy. I'm going to come to the house of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, where's Pastor tonight? Well, he's just kind of down, so he didn't come tonight. I mean, you ought to find another church. You got a pastor like that. Shows up every now and then, you know. Well, but he's kind of going through a trial, so he didn't come tonight. I've come when I wasn't feeling well. Amen. I watched that today because everybody thinks everything is COVID now, and they'll all run from you and want to shut the church down. But anyway, you know, so I don't always say anything now, you know, because I don't want people freaking. Thank God I'm healed. Hallelujah. Yeah. You know, and so I'm not going to let life, I'm not going to let the devil, I'm not going to let things steal my joy. I may not like my circumstances. It may not be the happiest time in my life, but I'm going to have my joy. Hallelujah. Amen. So, what we want to talk about tonight, and we're just titling this the Joy of Salvation 1, the Joy of Salvation 2, makes it easy. But what I'm going to talk about tonight is how joy affects your harvest in life. And so, let's go to Romans chapter 14, and I want to read to you a few verses tonight, if we have time. Romans 14, verse 17, you got it? The Bible says, the kingdom of God is not meat or food and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Now, why would he say that? Well, because he's dealing with a church here that's all caught up in, you know, what they ate. You know, some ate, all they ate was vegetables. And then some, you know, they ate vegetables and meat, you know, and so forth. And they were kind of like, you know, well, you know, some had their thoughts about it. Like, we're only supposed to eat vegetables. And some's like, man, leave my steak alone for I club you. And, you know, they were having it. And Paul said, wait a minute. He said, it isn't about that. He said, you know, if you want to eat vegetables and leave the guy that eats the meat alone. If you want to eat, you know what I'm saying? If that's what you, if you want to eat meat, leave the guy that wants to eat the vegetables alone. So all you vegetarians, leave me alone. I'm on the meat side, all right?
There you go. Amen.
Amen. Because, you know, I just read where Paul said, you know, well, I won't go there. Leave it alone? All right, leave it alone. Wife says, leave it alone. Obey your wife. Hallelujah. All right. For the kingdom of God's not, so that's why he said, the kingdom of God, it is, he's saying, guys, it isn't about a day. It isn't about whether you eat vegetables or whether you eat meat. Well, it isn't about that. The kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Now, notice verse 18, because this is really important to verse 17. For he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable or well-pleasing to God and approved of men. Notice, here's the thing. God wants us to serve him with joy.
Right.
And when we do, we're acceptable to God and approved of men. Now, here's what this is saying. It's saying that we'll have favor with God and with men.
Amen.
See, the Bible talks about Jesus and said he had favor with God. He grew in favor with God and with man. Samuel, the prophet, said he had favor with God, with the Lord, and with men. You need favor in this world. You need God's favor on your life.
Right.
Hallelujah. And then you need favor with men. And I've just learned that if you don't walk in these things, righteousness, peace, and joy, but particularly we're talking about joy tonight, so that's the one we're going to center in on. But if you're not a joyful person, it hurts your favor. It hurts your favor. As a person, I'm much more inclined to do something for somebody that's full of joy than some gripey gut. Right? Or some depressed person that's always down all the time. I'm more likely to do something for the person that's got joy. And God, now listen to me, God, I can prove it to you from the Bible that God wants us to have joy when we get around him and get in his presence. The Bible said, this is Psalm 100, you don't have to go there, but Psalm 100, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Now listen now, the King James says make a joyful noise. Some translations say make a joyful shout, because it really means both. But one of the things that means is an ear-splitting noise. Right? And it's not talking about have the sound guy crank it so loud that we all got earplugs in and feel the bass beating, changing the rhythm of our heart. I was in a church here a while back, and I'm standing on the front row, and I'm thinking, my gosh, I can't hardly take this. I mean, that's like, almost like I'm getting one of those defib things, you know, with they had it cranked so loud. Like, my gosh, if my heart was out of rhythm, it got put back in or something. You know what I'm saying? That's not what he's talking about. He's about you and I praising and blessing the Lord.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. See, here's what, I don't think God really is real thrilled when we sing, and the words just barely come out of our mouth. Now, I'm not saying you have to yell it loud, because some of us don't need to be too vocal with the voices God gave us or didn't give us. I always hated it in meetings when someone got up to sing a special and said, pray for me. I'm thinking, uh-oh. Maybe we should pray for us. Like Brother Hagin said one time to a guy, he said, I used to ask the Lord to help me sing until I heard you sing. And Brother Hagin must have been pretty bad, because he said he took voice lessons. And he said the voice teacher told him, said, I've never told anybody this before, but if I was you, I'd just quit and save my money. But did you know what? God still likes to hear us, man. A joyful noise. Come on. And sometimes, you know, I mean, I know there's times we're quiet before the Lord, but not all the time, right? There's times to be joyful.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. There ought to be joy in our songs.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Sometimes we miss that element that God wants us to be joyful and make a joyful noise. And that's what he said in Psalm 100. He said, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord is God, it's he that made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with joy. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. And if you don't have any reason, he gives you the reason. For the Lord is good. His truth endures to every generation. His mercy is everlasting. Yeah. So if you can't think of three things, there's three things right there. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And he's given you his word. He's kept it alive for us. So we have to understand that God, even himself says, if you're coming in my presence, don't come in there, you know, grumpy and down. Now, I understand there are times that we do go to God. Don't overinterpret this. There are times when we do go to God with things and maybe we're not, you know, we need a little help. But that's not the way he wants us every day. How would you, I don't even know if I should say this. Remember, I'll tell my wife what I'm going to say and find out. How would you like to be married to somebody that was down every day? I certainly wouldn't. I thank God I've got an upbeat wife. Why? Because I don't want to be around that, and God doesn't want to be around that. Now, you know, I know sometimes people go through things, and we know maybe for periods of time they need a little help, but not 25 years. I've been depressed for 25 years. You got a problem, you know what I'm saying? We love you, we help you, we pray for you, but just admit, you got a problem. You're not normal. All right. Now, I don't really care to hang around people that are just, you know, they're real changeable. You know, and see, God says, I'm the Lord, I change not. And it tells us in Proverbs, don't be hanging around. This is a loose translation, but don't be hanging around those who are given to change. I want to hang around people that are solid, man. Right. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. Now, help people that need help. Don't misunderstand me, but I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Glory to God. So how many want favor? I'm telling you, God's favor. I've just learned this. You know, if you'll be a joyful person, then you'll get favor not only with God but with men, because you're going to need both in this life. God's going to give you favor, but then you know, you got to have favor with men. Now, you know, I like something. You know, Joel Osteen said about his dad. His dad. Let me tell you, if all you know is Joel, you don't know enough. I'm not saying that to criticize him. I'm just simply saying his dad was one of the finest pastors in America when he was on the planet. One of the finest preachers. You know, people look at that big church. Well, Joel inherited a church of 22,000 people. You know what I'm saying? But he told the story one time. He said, you know, he said, I was speeding on the interstate going to church, and this state trooper pulled me over, and he wanted to see my license. And he said, I gave it to him, and he looked at it and saw that Osteen on there. Well, the whole city of Houston, they knew who John Osteen was. Most of them loved him. And so this trooper said to him, he said, well, are you the preacher's boy? He said, yeah, that's my dad. And he said, well, okay. He said, here's your license back. Just slow it down a little bit. And he said, he let me go. He said, sometime later, I was speeding going to church. People speed to go to church. At least you're going. At least you make it. Even though you're late, you lazy outfit. But anyway, I'm having some fun with you, you know. Now, you know, he said, I speed and I got pulled over by this state trooper. And he said he was real gruff and mean looking. And he goes, let me see your license. And he said, I handed him my license. And he looked at him. He goes, are you the preacher's boy? And Joel said, I looked at him and said, well, that depends. He goes, depends on what? Whether you like him or not. He said, he just kept that frown on his face. And then he said, finally, I saw a faint smile come to the corner of his mouth. He goes, I like him. I like him a lot. Gave him his license back, said, slow down. Now, he made a point. He said, I didn't get that favor because of me. I got that favor because of my father. See, our father gives us favor. But he's more inclined, we're more inclined to walk, let's just say it this way, we're more inclined to walk in his favor when we have joy. Hallelujah. And when we express that joy. You know, the Deuteronomy, God told the children of Israel, he said, you're going to serve your enemies if you don't serve me with joyfulness and gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Right. And I'm thinking, all that God's done for us, Hallelujah. We got something to be joyful about. Well, yeah, things ain't going right on the job. Things aren't going right on the marriage. Well, maybe if you just rejoice, God could get involved and can change some things. Hallelujah. Now, all right, let's go over to the book of Acts, because I do want to look at some scripture tonight if we can. Let's go to Acts chapter 20, and I want to read some things. I want to talk about how joy affects your harvest. How many want a harvest? What do you mean a harvest? What do you mean a harvest? You mean talking about like corn? What are you talking about here? You know, I had a sinner friend come over one day, and you know, he's a guy I knew. He didn't know the Lord Jesus Christ. He came over to my house one day, and I had a cassette tape on my coffee table, and it had a title on there, sowing. One thing and reaping another thing. I forget what it was, sowing beans and reaping wheat. Well, you know, it was talking about sowing and reaping, how you can't sow one thing and reap another thing. He looks at that and goes, what? See, he just didn't understand. So when I say harvest, you maybe, even if you don't know, see, God's got a harvest for us of blessings, of promises in His Word. They belong to us, but we have to sow for them. Our faith, amen, is a seed. And so there's things that we do that cause those things to manifest in our life. Amen. Now, all right, so that's what we're talking about, whether that's, you know, blessing of in the material realm or blessing in the spiritual realm. Either way, hallelujah, both are good. I thank God every day for my natural blessings, but I thank Him most of all for my spiritual blessing, that I'm born again, filled with the Holy Spirit, mind's being renewed by the Word of God. Every day, there's not a day that goes by that I don't thank Him for that. Not a day. I don't know how many years, there hasn't a day gone by I don't take time to thank God for what I have. I'm grateful. Amen. And I think, you know, sometimes, you know, and I'm not saying you do, but I'm saying, you know, America is just spoiled because we've had such an abundance that just people have turned into brats. And they think they're entitled. Amen. So there's this entitlement mentality. You know, you owe me this, you owe me that. I mean, God doesn't owe us anything, but He's blessed us with some things. I mean, thank God for what He's given us. Amen. But He doesn't, you know, if He gave us what we deserved, they wouldn't be any of us left. But he's blessed us with some things. So how do we walk in those? Well, one thing is joy. Hallelujah. Amen. Just living joyfully. Just being happy. Praise God. Being full of joy because of what God's done for you. Amen. Now, Paul said this. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. He said, but none of these things move me. Talking about some of the things that's come against him and is going to come against him in ministry. He said, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. You know, God's got a course for you. Some translations say race. Well, you know, race is a course. You know, when you race, like running, you know, sometimes they'll call it the course or the race, and God's got one planned out for us, and it's something good. And so I was running a race one time, like a trail race one time in the winter time, and somewhere or another they didn't have the course marked just right, and some people were getting off and going the wrong way. And so, you know, with me, I just think, let's just take the shortest way, because that's the best way. So, but anyway, I remember Phyllis saying something. I think you guys ran the wrong way. Oh, no, we had it right. Everybody else was wrong. They all missed it. But anyway, the course wasn't marked clearly. But God's got a course for us to run. Amen. And Paul said, I'm going to have joy to finish it. See, anything you lose your joy over, how many know you quit? Has anybody ever started an exercise program? All right, we got, how many? Let me see, how many have ever started an exercise program? Okay. Has anybody ever quit the exercise program? What happened? You lost your joy. See, you're excited. See, I've told you my story years ago. I was 27 years old. And I weighed 150 some pounds and was trying to lose weight. And I don't know where my brain was. But, you know, when I got out of high school, I was 134 pounds. I guess I was going to try to get back to that. It's like, man, you're in your man bod now. It ain't coming back. You know what I'm saying? Now I'm in the grandpa bod. You know what I'm saying? So there's some things, you're not getting them back, all right? Forget it. Just be happy. Amen. Serve God. Have joy. All right. All right. Now, so anyway, I bought, because I heard there used to be a guy on the radio. His name was Paul Harvey. Anybody ever hear Paul Harvey? Now for the rest of the story. The guy was really good. He was interesting. And I would listen to him because I worked a job in town. And I'd go home for lunch. We'd get an hour for lunch. And so he'd be on, you know, so I'd turn him on the radio and listen to him while I was going back and forth to work, you know, for lunch. And so I'd listen to him. And every day, Monday through Friday, he always advertised Swin Aerodynes. How many know what a Swin Aerodyne is? It's a stationary bike, okay? And so he would say 20 minutes a day or three times a week or whatever he said is all you need. I thought, well, that's not bad. I can probably do that, 20 minutes, three times a week. So we went and bought one. They weren't cheap. You know, they're a few hundred dollars. They're like, today, they're like $900-some. And so we went and bought one, Phyllis and I, and we brought it home and put it in the bedroom, and we put it next to the bed, which is a great idea. And so I got on that thing, and, you know, I'll tell you what now, that thing is demanding. I don't know if you've ever been on one, but I recently was, like about a year ago or so, I was like, I got rid of her little treadmill. And she's not letting me forget about that. She's reminded me. I like that treadmill. Anyway, I got rid of this little dinky thing. I gave it away. And everybody does dumb stuff every now and then. And so I've decided, am I going to get another treadmill? Am I going to get an Aerodyne? So there's a place here in town, you know, sells them. So I went and got on it, you know, and rode it. And the first time I rode, I thought, I ain't getting one of these things, man. That's too hard. And so I left, and I thought about it for a week or so and went back. Well, it couldn't be that bad. I went back and rode it again, you know. And, you know, I'm like, nah, forget it. I ain't doing it. It's too hard. And that's exactly what I experienced at 26, 27 years old. I bought that thing, and I was excited. I don't know if she was excited, but I was excited because she you know, she really needed to lose weight. She was like 110 pounds. Now she's none of your business. Anyway. It's still in there. It's still in the hundreds, all right? All right, so, anyway. Well, wait a minute. I didn't say anything wrong. What's wrong with you? You guys got dirty minds, you know what I'm saying? Your minds, you're squirrely. See, so I bought that thing, and I was so excited about it until I got on it. In about 5 minutes, I was laying on the bed huffing and puffing and thinking, phew. And that thing, we ended up hanging clothes on it. You know what I'm saying? That was our hall tree. Because why? Something happened along the course. I lost my joy. And when you lose your joy, you lose your harvest. And consequently, you know, what you're believing for, when you lose your joy, you quit pursuing it. Now, you got to understand something. If every promise of God, if every benefit of God came to pass in our lives immediately, there would not be any opportunity to lose our joy. But it's because there's going to be opposition. There's going to be sometimes time. Seed, time, and what?
Harvest.
I don't know about you. If I'd been writing that, Pastor Jerry, I'd said seed, harvest. Forget the time. I don't have time for this time. But God's told us seed, time, and harvest. I know I'm playing on words. I understand that, but it's my sermon. Seed, time, harvest. Because that is really real. I know seed time means the time for planting, but I'm using it my way, okay? I did it my way. Seed, time, harvest. So, and that's what Paul's saying. He said, I've got to have joy if I'm going to finish this course. If I lose my joy, I'll quit running it. Boy, you should say, you know what I'm saying? When you run long races, you know, and I've never run a full marathon. I've done half marathons. Every time I've done a half marathon, I thought, how in the world do you ever run a full one? I'm about done now. I'm tired. I want to go to the house. I don't want to be halfway through, have 13.1 more miles to go. So I've done it. But I've seen people that lost their joy along the way. They're in the medical tents. I saw one laying on the side of the road in the grass. I just kept going. Isn't there a scripture in the Bible about that? Like the Good Samaritan? I was really the bad pastor that day. I don't know how you got there, but I got to finish this. Somebody will find you. If not, when they mow, they'll find you. Anyway. So anyway, you know what I'm talking about. I mean, you see people that it was more than they bargained for. Amen. And I would sometimes tell our granddaughters, because sometimes they want to run one, and one of them, and I'll leave her a name, she was notorious for not wanting to train. And I say, you got to train. Yeah, yeah, I'm getting it, Grandpa. I'm doing it. Did you run this week? Well, I did Thursday. You can't just run Thursday. This is a long way, girl. And see, what happens is people sometimes expect things to happen overnight, and when it doesn't, they lose their joy. See, Paul. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. You know, see, we got to have joy to finish our course. Remember, the Bible said in Proverbs 17 that a merry heart does good like a medicine. Why do you take medicine?
To get well.
To get better, right? To get a harvest of what?
Health.
You want health, right? You want to feel better, right? You ever have aches? You don't even have to be sick. You just got to go plant 6 trees like I did yesterday. And then today you're sore. Any sickness about it, you just should have paid somebody to plant them. But anyway, so what do? Maybe you take a little Advil. What are you taking that Advil for? Man, because you want a harvest. You want that soreness gone. You want that pain gone. You know what I'm saying? So merry heart is like a medicine.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. And really, scientists, I've read or heard stories about this. Scientists have talked about how, you know, if you get somebody, you know, they would like, it was an experiment they did one time that I read about or heard about, I can't remember now. But they got people that were sick to watch funny movies, and some of them got well. Because it releases something. Oh, glory to God. This is Proverbs 15:15, you write it down. The Bible says, all the days of the afflicted are evil. And that word afflicted means those that are depressed in mind and circumstances. Those that are just depressed over their circumstances, depressed in their mind, all their days are evil. Every day's bad. But it says those that are of a merry heart have a continual feast. They're continually harvesting. I'm not trying to pump you up. You know, I'm just telling you what the Bible says about joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit. Why would God give it to us if we didn't need it? Right? See, you know, you buy that thing. We've talked about it before, and there's parts in there. There's instructions in there. Sometimes, like if you're like me, you don't like to read the instructions. I hate to read instructions. You know, just like today, I was trying to do something. I remember how to do it. I had an instruction book. I thought, forget that. I'm going online and let somebody just show me by a video how to do it. You know what I'm saying? Because I don't want to read the instructions. Sometimes I think it just takes too long, you know. And so when we buy something and you got to put it together, I don't really want the instructions. Just give me the box. I want to look at the picture. I'll put it together like the picture. And then there's been times there's parts left over. And sometimes you find out you really needed those parts, see? Amen. See, God gives us things because we need them for life. He gave us joy because we need it. Amen? Now, you Thessalonians. Well, I'm not. Let me go there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I want to show you something, and we're closing right here. Come on, did you get something tonight?
Yes.
1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 6, Paul said, you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word of God, in much affliction. So this church was in a place where they were, actually the affliction he's talking about, they were being persecuted for the word's sake. In much affliction, notice this, with joy of the Holy Ghost. Well, how could you have affliction and joy? Well, you're either yielding to the affliction or you're yielding to the joy. This church chose to yield to the joy. And notice he said you receive the word with joy. Go to Matthew, Matthew chapter 13, because this is important. Matthew 13, go there. Matthew the 13th chapter. Matthew 13. And I want to show you something here. Verse number 21, Jesus is talking about the sower sows the word. And he says, back up to verse 20. Everybody got that? All right, it says, but he that receives seed into stony places, the same as he that hears the word and immediately with joy receives it. See, we're supposed to receive the word with joy. Well, let me say this to you, okay? Well, let's read the next verse before I say that. Verse 21, yet he has not root in himself. In other words, he doesn't have any staying power. But he endures for a while, for when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word's sake, by and by he is offended. Or your translation might say he stumbles, right? Now, what does that mean? Well, when he heard the word, he received it with joy, right? But when testing came, he lost his joy. And when he lost his joy, he lost the word, right? See, here's the thing. This is important. Now, this is an important statement. You got to get this. Joy fertilizes the word. It causes it to be more fruitful in your life. Amen. See, why do you fertilize your yard? He said, I don't. Okay. I accept that. Why do I fertilize my yard? Because I want it to look better. I want it to do better. When Phyllis and I got married, living in Jasper, Indiana, a lot of the, and I don't know if it's this way today, but in those days, most people kept their places looking really sharp. So we lived in a neighborhood, and this person right here kept their grass nice. We're right here, and this person right here kept their grass nice. But this person right here in the middle, which was me, did not. And I told Phyllis, I said, I came from the country. I say, we mow whatever comes up. You understand? We don't ask any questions. Are you weed, grass? We don't ask any questions. The only thing we mow around is the dog. We don't even mow around flowers. They're in the way. Don't plant them. And we put the blade low, so we scalped the ground. I mean, dust is flying. It looks like we're harvesting corn or something out there. You know what I'm saying? How many are country enough to know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
That's the way we did our yards, man. And so I told her, I said, look, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that, you know. But after the first year, I'm like, man, I look bad. So you know what I started doing? Taking care of the yard. That's what got me started. That's why I'm kind of maybe over the top with it now. You know, if I see a weed in my yard, man, I'm right out there. Psh, you're gone. I call them out, man. That's right. I get my ortho weed killed. Pow! No, see, but why do I fertilize my yard? Because I want it to be more fruitful. I want it to look greener. I want it to get thicker. I want it to grow better. You know what I'm saying? And I don't scalp it any longer. I know now you'll leave it 3.5-4 inches tall, you know, because it helps the grass. But you do those things because it makes it better. God's saying, now listen now, God's saying joy causes my word, amen, to be more fruitful in your life. Remember when the angel came to Mary and he gave her all that good news about her bearing the Son of God? You know, the only thing he told her to do, the King James says, he says, Hail Mary, H-A-I-L, Mary, which is an old archaic greeting that means rejoice. In the New King James, the angel Gabriel says, "Rejoice, Mary, for you found favor with God." All he told her to do, listen now, come on. You've never been asked to believe anything like Mary was asked. I've never been asked to believe anything like Mary. Mary's 15 years old. She's a virgin, and this angel says, "You're going to have a son." Now, she didn't question it. She said, "Well, how will this?" She didn't question. She just asked, how's it going to happen? "Well, how will this be, seeing I know not a man?" See, she wanted to know, what am I supposed to do here? And he said, "The Holy Ghost will come on you. The power of the highest will overshadow to you." Amen. Now, here's the interesting thing. You go, that's verse 28, Luke 1. You go a few more verses, and it says this. Mary said, "My soul hath magnified the Lord. I have rejoiced in God my Savior." In other words, when she heard that word, she just got excited. Hallelujah. See, all God's asking us is just get excited about His word. Just have joy about His word. So that's why Jesus said you got to be like a little child. You want to get a child excited? Just tell them something good. Amen. You know, if you tell your child tomorrow, "We're going to go down to Walmart and buy you a new bike," you better be ready to keep that word, because they're not going to forget about it like some Christians. Now, I'm not slinging anything at you, so don't look so mean and ugly. See, but some believers just quick to forget God's word. It's like, "Oh my God, what are we going to do now? How about believe?" I had the Lord tell me that. If He tells me that, I can tell you that. I was asking the Lord one time. I was going through a severe trial. Severe. Everybody say severe. You know what a severe trial is? My trial. Yours is just a light affliction. So I was going through a severe trial because it was happening to me. And I went to the Lord. I said, "Lord, what am I going to do?" You know what He said to me? Just as plain as could be. He said, "Why don't you do what you preach?" I thought, well, I guess I have to go listen to my tapes and find out what I preached. No, I knew what He meant. You're telling other people to believe God. Why don't you go do that? Amen. Hallelujah. Jeremiah said, "Your words were found. I ate them. They were the joy and rejoicing of my heart." All God asks us to do is just rejoice at His word. Act like it's true. Because you know what? You know what's going to happen now? If you promise your child, "Tomorrow we're going to Walmart and we're going to buy you a new bike," I don't care if a tornado comes through town, blows the roof off your house. In the morning, the kids are going to say, "We still going to Walmart, right?" Because they don't see obstacles. They just see promises. Is that right? It ain't going to be, "Well, you know, I mean, Daddy, He had a problem with the car. He can't go buy the bike now." No. So they don't see obstacles, just promises. God's either good to His word or He's not. How many know He is good to His word? Hallelujah.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.